Minnesota. Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here for Local Minnesota Radio Hour. And we'll be taking calls all show long on anything you want to talk about. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. But Eric, it's the first time I've seen you since our election night coverage.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was. I know you and Brett had to work yesterday. I didn't, and I slept the entire day. I was exhausted from our coverage and just leading up to the election, everything I had to do, prepare for. But I feel sorry for you, too.
Yeah, I was wiped out.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was very fun. Our coverage went really well. I mean, it kind of took Wednesday to process what exactly happened, but we definitely had a pretty phenomenal night in Minnesota. Everything, we had a true blue wave in Minnesota for our state legislator and all of our statewide offices and our Senate seats and flipping a couple of suburban House seats. So that was a good night. Nationally, a mixed bag. It's difficult. It's great that the Democrats took the House, but there was just so many races that were so close, and it's frustrating that a lot of them, the direct cause was voter suppression, and that they're going to be able to get away with this because in those states they have Republican secretaries of states who really control the election outcome, and it's going to be very difficult to overcome even those very small margins because of that. But here in Minnesota, a good night. And
yeah, Minnesota-wide, it went pretty well.
Yeah. After kind of processing the results, I think that personally, my focus is going to be more on the state Minnesota legislator, because I have a lot more hope for getting anything good done here in the state rather than having to deal with the federal Congress and the Senate, which is going to be a mess for a while. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, yeah, they have a filibuster-proof Senate now.
But I feel for my mental health, if I'm trying to contribute and do what I can, I should focus
on something
level.
Where you can actually improve something, yeah, as opposed to just constantly slamming your head against a wall.
And because Minnesota just seems like we're going in the right direction on all fronts, that there's good times ahead. And we've been able to do major things. Like Minnesota was really one of the first states to figure out healthcare and get its own system in place that is effective and able to provide those working class and poor families great healthcare.
Yeah, I get my healthcare through Minsure, and I have to say it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have very few problems with it. I mean, signing up for it, it's kind of a pain, but when is healthcare not some sort of a chore?
Yeah, it's definitely less of a pain than in other states, but yeah, I know what you mean. Well, let's take Brenda's call quick. Brenda and Carver, she wants to talk about the rallies tonight.
Hi, Hunter. Yeah, just want to remind people to go to moveon.org and find a place to rally. Myself and my husband are going to head to the Eric Paulson office parking lot.
Yeah,
I'm Prairie Center Drive.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to toss that out as well, that Indivisible is organizing those protests outside of Eric Paulson's office, as well as the protests going on at the Minnesota State Capitol. So good for you. You're going there. On a cold night.
My husband and I were number 784 and 785, so there's a lot of people planning on being there.
Great. Well,
so come on out and join us.
Well, I'll see if I can, but thanks for the call, Brenda.
Yep, have a good night. Bye-bye.
Let's get Randy on the line, too. He wants to talk about these statewide races. Randy in Coon Rapids.
Hey, Hunter, how you doing? It's nice to see you're still alive.
Same for you.
Kind of my worst nightmare for the state, but looking pretty good nationally. I'm pretty happy about that. We got a lot more seats in the Senate, so if things were to happen and we got to nominate another Supreme Court judge, should just sail right on through and not have a problem there. So nationwide, we're doing good, but just as I thought, Hunter, you know, my two worst nightmares for this state was Keith Ellison and Tim Walz. And what's the first thing I hear on the radio today? Well, after the first of the year and the first session, Mr. Tim Walz is going to be putting in to raise our gas taxes. And I'm like, are you serious? Really? I mean, do we really need to be paying that much more in taxes on our gas to drive a vehicle?
All right.
What do we do?
I don't know. I'm kind of with you, Randy. I'm not a huge fan of raising the gas tax. It's a tax that affects a lot of individuals on a personal level. I'd be much more eager to see some sort of gas tax raised on the corporate level.
I agree with that. I am typically against consumption taxes because they unfairly burden the poorest people. The thing about the gas tax is here in Minnesota, we are way far behind on ever raising it, and that is what we use to pay for the roads and the infrastructure here. So it's kind of the only option. I mean, if we're going to repair any of these things, unless we come bring a new revenue source to tackle these.
And I'd like to see maybe some sort of a luxury car tax and placed on, you know, more expensive cars over, let's say $50,000, something like that.
Yeah, why not?
Used to pay for our infrastructure, just some other sources, ones that don't disproportionately affect lower income people.
But Randy, I hear you. It's kind of a mixed bag for both Republicans and Democrats here in Minnesota. We each kind of got something out of election night. So thanks for the call, Randy. But yeah, let's talk about Minnesota. So first thing is Minnesota is the exception. This seems too weird to be true, but Minnesota will be the only state legislator in the country not controlled by the same party, with the Republicans retaining a one-vote majority in the Senate after winning the one race in Senate District 13, and the DFL regaining control of the House. The legislature is split, and in every other state in the country, either the Republicans or the Democrats control both the House and Senate. So Minnesota stays unique in that way. The other way is the era of divided government is continuing here in Minnesota. Minnesota has had a divided government for the entirety of Governor Mark Dayton's second term and half of his first term. That is, the GOP controlled one or both of the houses of legislature while DFL Dayton was the governor. So Tuesday proved to be no exception to that rule. So Tim Walz, when he does enter office, will be dealing with the split House, but a Senate that is only a majority by one vote. So there is still a lot of hope to be able to get Tim Walz's agenda through.
Yeah, even with the party as connected as the Republican Party, they all seem pretty much on the same message. Keeping 51 people all agreeing with each other is not easy.
Yeah, and Minnesota Republicans are different than most Republicans nationwide. They're a little more lenient, especially the ones from... well, now there's not really any of these suburban Republicans because they all kind of lost in the state House. But in the Senate, you still have people like Scott Jensen, who will... on healthcare and on guns, he will vote with the DFL. So the Senate, there is a lot of hope and a lot of promise of Tim Walz can be able to push an agenda through. The other thing that happened was polling was fairly accurate. Almost all the polls were within just a point or two, and I had been a big criticizer of polls and saying not to believe them, but
yeah, maybe they fixed some of these algorithms they were using for the Trump campaign, you know, and people vote not necessarily how they are polling a lot of the times.
And the thing with the Trump election was those polls were actually pretty accurate. Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote, and it by the margin that the polls were saying. It was just they didn't account for four states being decided by less than 20,000 votes. So, I mean, that's a hard one to deal with anyways. But another observation is the GOP definitely owns rural Minnesota. The House DFL caucus began its campaign to retake the body by targeting 12 suburban districts that were carried by Hillary Clinton in 2016, but were won by the GOP House candidate that year. All 12 fell to the DFL on Tuesday, but the election furthered a geographical alignment that mimicked the congressional elections. The DFL games came at the expense of Republicans who were able to hold outer suburbs and rural areas. So we definitely have an urban and rural divide that is very stark and very polarized. I mean, it's really, when you look at the map now, it's all the Democrats in the country are near the metro areas, and all the Republicans control all those huge rural lands that make the map look really red.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at a map of Minnesota's breakdown, it's basically everyone is around the Twin Cities area, and you've got a little cluster up in the Northeast region because of the union support.
Yeah. Well, let's get to a couple of these calls. Let's talk to Jeff in Minneapolis, who wants to talk about the election. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, hi, Hunter. Thanks for taking my call. I guess I'm kind of speaking to Randy up there in Coon Rapids. I just have a question for him. Who does he think's going to pay for the roads to maintain them? Certainly not the rich or corporations that we give all the tax breaks to, so somebody has to pay for them. So if they raise the gas tax, hey, my car will appreciate it when the potholes come around in the spring. But I take public transportation, so I really don't worry too much about that. I ride my bike and get some exercise, and maybe Randy from Coon Rapids can do that. What a great day for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Glad to see the Democrats take control. And as for the Senate, well, you know what? Wait till 2 years from now. We got control of the House, and that right there is justice. And just let you know that America really doesn't advocate what Trump does, you know, and his hatred and putting an accused rapist on a Supreme Court. But with that said, last I'll leave this, Wisconsin's raising their gas tax, too. So I don't know if Randy may want to go live in Wisconsin. He probably won't. I'd suggest maybe North or South Dakota. It seems like that'd be more of a fitting town for him. And that's all I have to say.
Sure. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Yeah, Randy, what about North Dakota?
And Jeff made a good point. You might be saving money with these gas taxes just based on the
car
repairs you don't have to do based on potholes.
Good point. Let's get Jim from St. Paul before we take a break. Hey, Jim.
Thank you. You know, Randy should be real happy. He's in a party now that elected a dead pimp, elected two guys that are under indictment, have to cheat. In every election they even win, they have to cheat or destroy records to show you what they've done. That deal in Georgia, I'm sure, is going to be overturned. I'm sure Florida cheated. That's the only way Republicans can win, because they're cheats, they're rotten, they're scum, and they're stupid. And that's the best I can say.
Well, don't
for
be too nice. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jim. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about Keith Ellison and what's his plan with his position as DNC deputy chair. Also, let's talk about Scott Walker's awesome defeat Tuesday. When we return on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, we have open phone lines all show long. Phone number 952-946-6205. Give us a call about anything you want to talk about. We'll be right back.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul, or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
At Burger Mo's, Mondays no longer need to be a drag. Dine on the beautiful patio for Burger Monday Madness every Monday after 4 p.m., where you can order any burger and fries off menu for just $6. Not valid on Excel event evenings. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the urban dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an urban dog.
The urban dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The urban dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here for local Minnesota Radio Hour. And we're going to have open phone lines the entire show. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. So give us a call with anything you want to talk about. So Keith Ellison, he won the attorney general race, but he currently is the deputy chair of the DNC. What's his plans? Keith Ellison to resign from DNC deputy chair to prepare for Minnesota Attorney General. Attorney General-elect Keith Ellison says he's resigning as deputy chair of the Democratic National Committee as he prepares for his new office. Ellison named those who would lead his transition team in the Attorney General's office on Thursday. The night before, he told Minnesota Public Radio that he's notified DNC Chairman Tom Perez that he will be retiring from the role to devote all of his time to the people of the state of Minnesota. Ellison was elected Minnesota Attorney General on Tuesday, defeating Republican Doug Wardlow.
Thank God for that, too. Because yeah. Doug Wardlow, I'm probably the opposite of Randy. Doug Wardlow was the nightmare of me.
Yeah. Something interesting, though, is Doug Wardlow managed to receive more votes than Jeff Johnson for governor. He got about 200 or 300,000 more votes.
That doesn't really surprise me.
I know it makes sense, but you'd expect a governor to just have more people show up to vote for. But
I think people were doing a lot of down ballot casting, and then with the exception of people who had this altered perspective of Keith Ellison, probably voted against him.
Yeah. But I found that interesting that he had such a substantial amount. But it was obviously because of the allegations and the nonstop negative portrayal of ads of Keith Ellison. But Keith said, "I am honored to have earned the trust of the people of Minnesota to serve as their attorney general, where I will fight for affordable health care, a fair economy, and equal rights for all." Ellison said in a prepared statement, "To carry out this important work will require an outstanding team of dedicated public servants, and I could ask for no one better to lead those efforts than my terrific chief of staff, as well as some others. I don't want to butcher these names, but who will lead a team to help build a strong, dedicated, people-centered public law firm for the people of Minnesota." Ellison will be sworn in on January 7th, 2019. I am thrilled Keith Ellison won, and in fact, I supported Keith Ellison in the primary, and people were warning me that that wasn't a good idea because they told me that he could never win statewide, that the Republicans would just attack him, they'd use the Muslim against him, and he wouldn't be able to win. So a lot of people were looking for other options because of that, even though they thought Keith Ellison would be the best choice. But I'm glad I stuck to my guns because I am thrilled for what Keith Ellison is going to be able to do as Attorney General. He left his safe seat in CD5 because he felt he could make a bigger difference and took this huge chance to run for a statewide office that he had no idea if he'd be able to perform because obviously he's aware of the Republicans and how they attack him and the reputation that that can bring to outside the metro area. But I'm thrilled. We got Tim Walz and Keith Ellison as Attorney General. I'm very excited. Well, I want to quickly, too, talk about Wisconsin because this is great.
Never-ending entertainment going on.
This is just wonderful. This is such good news. Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott Walker lost a very narrow race for re-election to Democratic challenger Tony Evers on Tuesday, but it wasn't close enough to qualify for a recount, thanks to a law he signed himself last year. If a candidate in Wisconsin is losing by less than 1%, they can ask for a recount, but Walker lost by 1.2%. Business Insider reports that the threshold is due to a law Walker signed after President Trump was elected. Mr. Trump won Wisconsin by 23,000 votes, and Green Party candidate Jill Stein, who received just 1% of the vote, demanded and received a recount, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports. In response, the state legislature passed a measure mandating that in the future, candidates could only request a recount if they were losing by less than 1%. Therefore, Walker didn't qualify for a recount. Like his lieutenant governor initially suggested when the race was too close to call, Walker ultimately called Evers to concede.
Hunter, are you familiar with the term schadenfreude?
No, what is it?
It's a sense of enjoyment or satisfaction from others people's dismay.
This is the most
perfect example of schadenfreude I've ever seen. Well, it just him having it backfire in his face, this law he signed, is brings me such happiness.
Scott Walker is particularly despicable for the way that he dismantled unions in Wisconsin.
Oh, it's gross. And just looking at the way that he removed all these different subsidies for renewable energies, it's great.
But on the union front, we've got some more celebrating because this is great, too. Richard Trumka, the president of the AFL-CIO, issued a brief but harsh statement on Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's losing his reelection bid. So this is a release from the AFL-CIO, and it reads just this. Scott Walker was a national disgrace.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's so awesome. That race is that's just beautiful that that happened because I didn't see it happen. That just kind of crept up on us election night and he didn't pull it off. So great news. Let's get to Gary, who's also ecstatic about everything that happened Tuesday. Gary, good to hear from you.
Yeah, well, nationally, we picked up 7 governors and that helps with voter suppression. And I wish we would have got Florida. I don't know if that's in yet. And then you know, Mitch Bay, we got rid of Walker. So, and I'm also, I was worried really a lot about Keith Ellison, and I really wanted to make sure we got the governor here. And the House surprised me that we did so good in the Minnesota House. And now both in Minnesota and nationally, we got to pass real good progressive, especially bread and butter legislation that the people want and see if dare them to block it. And we could use that as a campaign issue in 2 years if they don't sign it. Because I got a feeling that even if it gets to Trump, he'll veto it. But if in Washington or in the state here too, if they block it by that one vote, we can use we'll campaign against them in the next election. But the thing that really sparkles with me is I didn't think of it at the time, but Keith Ellison stepping up and running statewide, which I was worried about. It opened the door for this new congresswoman I got. I was so proud seeing her being interviewed on TV. And I thought back to John Kennedy in 1960, breaking the barrier, being the first Irish Catholic and the first Catholic president, and how they threw leaflets in our neighborhood about the Pope was going to run the country. And did you know he gave us family planning? A Catholic president gave us family planning. And now them right-wingers are taking away a lot of our religious freedom by pushing their religious extremism down their throat.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call, Gary. I totally agree with you on that. And yeah, as far as breaking barriers like Ilhan Omar or Keith Ellison, that's when people were criticizing my support for Keith Ellison. I go, well, someone has to break this barrier, and who better than Keith Ellison? So that was what my mindset the whole time approaching this, and I am glad it worked out.
Yeah, is Ilhan Omar now the first Muslim woman?
First Somali Congress? Woman, and yes, the first and second Muslim woman, because there was two elected, one in Detroit. So yes, those two are the first Muslim women congresswomen. But we're going to take a break. Our phone lines are open. Give us a call at 952-946-6205, and we will be right back on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
Native Earth Radio is proud to announce we're adding an extra hour.
1 hour's too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
Great, more time for me to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national native news with reporters all around the country, Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m.
We are awake.
Find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and streaming live on Facebook.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-647-1579. 1-800-647-1579. That's 1-800-647-1579.
Hey, Minnesota, Norm Goldman here. Catch me live every weeknight from 5 to 8 p.m. right here on AM 950. Whether it's a recap of the day's news, legal analysis, or teaching civics, justice is always served on the Norm Goldman Show. Today on the show, as we absorb all the election results and the firing of Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, as we absorb all that and whatever else is happening, do join me every weeknight from 5 to 8 on AM 950.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Come.
knock at your front door.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson here for today's local Minnesota Radio Hour. And our phone lines are open at 952-946-6205. Give us a call with anything you want to talk about. But one thing I want to just talk about quick is, what do we do with Beto O'Rourke? Very popular Senate candidate in Texas, almost beat Ted Cruz by coming within a point or two to turning Texas blue. And many want him to run for president in 2020. But I don't know if that's such a good idea. Beto O'Rourke is a very charismatic guy, very popular, easy to like. But he made major grounds in Texas, and I believe that he is better suited to stay in Texas and work on turning that to a purple or even blue state in the near future, because the demographics in Texas are changing fast. As we could see even on Tuesday, how close Beto O'Rourke came to flipping that Senate seat. But I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea to have Beto run in 2020. And
no, I think that I don't think anyone's even like seriously proposing. I think people are like, it's a cult of personality, kind of to some extent, just because it's been pushed so much. And I don't say that Beto O'Rourke's bad, but he just has very little experience in this. And why would you nominate someone who lost against someone who Trump completely humiliated?
Yeah. Yeah, he lost to who lost the Republican nomination. The point you're saying, too, is we have to be careful when we have a president who is entirely built upon personality, because when that person goes, so does the movement. Mm-hmm. Instead, you want to build your movement on platform, which can exchange people over time.
I think you saw that a lot in the Democrats' last election of Hillary Clinton. They ran on the Obama platform, which is, okay, you have this incredibly charismatic guy.
Yeah, and
very few people
didn't transfer
can,
to Hillary.
Use his strategy.
Yeah, but with Beto O'Rourke losing in Texas and some other struggles for Democrats, the Senate has become a huge problem for the Democrats. So despite a great night in House elections, Democrats have lost ground in the Senate. Depending on what happens in Florida and Arizona, the party will hold anywhere between 46 and 48 seats in the U.S. Senate. Any of those options represent a net loss for the party, which currently holds 49 seats. But so I wanted to look ahead. What's 2020 look like? Well, this is not looking much better. So in 2020, so we would have to, let's say, best case scenario, we got 52-48 in the Senate with the Republicans' favor. Democrats in 2020 would need to hold on to Doug Jones' seat in Alabama, which is very unlikely.
Yeah, unless they have another open pedophile running in that seat.
Yeah, and with how Alabama voted on Tuesday, it's not looking good for Doug Jones. But they would also have to defeat both Susan Collins in Maine and Cory Gardner in Colorado and pick up a seat in a red state by ousting at least North Dakota, Iowa, or Arizona, or Georgia, which Georgia is actually looking like a blue state in the South. The problem is how much voter suppression goes on in Georgia.
Yeah, there's definitely potential there. There's a huge number of minority population there.
Yeah, but so the Democrats are going to remain in the minority in the Senate till probably at least 2022. That will have some grave consequences for not just the prospect of future progressive legislation like Medicare for All or climate change, but it's going to hurt because the Senate decides the federal judiciary seats. So the primary consequence of the Democrats' failure in the Senate in the near term is that they'll be unable to stop Trump's judicial appointments, they'll have fewer votes to resist than they did with even Brett Kavanaugh, who was able to get through with credible allegations against him and credible testimony that most people saw as totally legitimate. That could really help the Republicans solidify or expand their dominance in the Supreme Court. And I think this is what Republicans are going to do with the Democratic House majority. They're going to focus on getting as many judicial seats filled as they possibly can, as fast as they can. So the Senate is a problem. I have an idea of what we can do, but first I want to take Paul in Eden Prairie's call about Indivisible. Paul?
Yeah, actually a couple of things. I'm at the Indivisible event that starts here at 5 in Eden Prairie at Eric Paulson's office.
Great.
People are starting to show up. Some have signs, that kind of thing. Police have already arrived to help keep things in order. But what I wanted to say is that the Senate race is going to be an exact opposite next cycle as it was this cycle. This time we were defending 21 or 22 seats, and they were defending 9. Next cycle, it's going to be the exact opposite. They'll be defending 20-plus seats, and I think we're going to be defending 11 or 12.
Yeah, but have you seen where their seats are? They're all in the reddest of red states. So it's going to be tough to pick off any of those.
Yeah, and it's the only the ones that are defending are ones we can take, if you know.
Yeah, so you are true, though. The numbers are switched around this time, but I'm nervous about which seats the Republicans are defending and that we have to defend Doug Jones in Alabama. I don't know how easy that's going to be or if that's even possible. So thank you for the call, Paul, and I am proud of you for being at Paulson's office with the Indivisible people. But one way I think we could combat the Senate is through ballot initiatives, because on Tuesday we saw dozens of issues on the ballot, from voting rights for felons to redistricting to marijuana legalizations. So voters in 37 states voted on a total of 157 ballot measures on Election Day, the results of which will affect wide-ranging aspects of people's daily lives in those states, from their right to purchase a gun to which bathroom they can use. So Massachusetts passed the nation's first statewide vote on anti-discrimination protections for transgender people, prohibiting gender-based discrimination in public places. Washington state voters also passed initiatives tightening gun control laws, which include raising the minimum age to purchase a firearm to 21 years old. Four states also cast ballots on Medicaid expansion. Three of those states, Idaho, Nebraska, and Utah, voted to pass the Medicaid expansion, which means 300,000 more low-income Americans will receive coverage. The fourth state, Montana, rejected the measure. But voters in six states approved versions of Marcy's Law, first enacted in California 10 years ago. The law grants crime victims 17 rights in the judicial process, including tightening parole requirements and protecting victims from the defendants. Advocates argue that crime victims deserve the right to a legal standing and knowledge over the defendant's whereabouts during the legal process. While critics, including the ACLU, say Marcy's Law undermined due process and put a strain on the system, Illinois, Ohio, and the Dakotas enacted similar laws.
That's always ridiculous to me when the argument is, oh, it puts a strain on the system. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, maybe we should just give all police martial law. That'll be easy on the system.
So, and then Arkansas and Missouri both voted to increase the minimum wage. And listen to those states, Arkansas and Missouri. So that will raise the minimum wage to a combined total of 900,000 workers in the two states. And then Michigan fully legalized marijuana, while Utah and Missouri voted to legalize medical marijuana. The only state that rejected legalizing any sort of marijuana was Randy's new home of North Dakota.
Yeah, it's funny. You look at all these states that are red and they're voting for issues that are considerably more left-wing than the people who even represent them on the left-wing are.
Absolutely. So these red states, they would never vote for a Democrat. However, when you put the issues on the ballot, they'll side with the left wing. They'll side with the progressive cause because they like how it sounds. They're so brainwashed.
Yeah, the left wing ideals are not unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
The ideas themselves are not unpopular, even though they're left wing. It's the Democratic Party, unfortunately, which is unpopular in these places.
I mean, yeah, so those last two I said, I mean, Arkansas and Missouri voted to increase the minimum wage. Then Michigan legalized marijuana, but the other two, Utah and Missouri, legalized medical marijuana. So those are four extremely red states that voted to pass it. So my idea is, to combat this terrible Senate we're going to be facing for years, is we got to focus our attention on organizing to create ballot initiatives. I mean, that is the best way, especially in cities which have such a stronghold on electing Democrats to begin with. Focus your attention on getting ballot initiatives on the state level, especially if you live in a red state.
Absolutely.
In a city.
And you can directly affect change through the government with ballot initiatives, whereas just trying to persuade your party to go along with an issue, you can't be guaranteed anything.
Yeah, so I think that is our ray of hope in the near future. Well, Mark from Fridley's been on hold. Mark, it's good to hear from you.
Hey, guys. Hello. I'm just so glad I don't have to DVR through all those crappy commercials that we've been seeing for the past.
Oh, they were insane.
Yeah, I heard there was 216 straight days of commercial airtime here in Minnesota.
That's absolutely insane, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And Vladimir Putin doesn't represent the biggest threat to the United States. It's Citizens United and campaign finance reform. But I want to riff a little bit on what you were just talking about in these Bible Belt red states. They all mathematically extract more from the federal government than they put in. Yet they're supposed to. States like Minnesota actually get less money than we give to the federal government. So these red states, these Bible Belt states, also have higher abortion rates, higher divorce rates. They have higher drug addiction rates. And these are the red Bible Belt states that are dependent on states like Minnesota to pick up the tab that they can't pay for. And what the reason we have this problem is, ask a Republican. The economy is not good. The economy is being propped up on a credit card that's unlimited, and it's maxed out. Ask a Republican, if the economy is so good, why aren't we paying back the deficit and the federal debt? Why is that exploding at a rate that's higher than this prospective growth? Because it's not a myth. And that is why the Republicans couldn't run on the economy, because they know it's going to tank, and I assure you it's going to. And they couldn't be left holding the bag. But I just want to quickly, if I could, point out, I don't know if I'm going to get a chance before next Monday, but we're looking at what politicians call Veterans Day. It's what we in the military call Armistice Day. The difference between Veterans Day, which was changed from its original title, Armistice Day, is because armistice meant peace. It was supposed to be Peace Day. Instead, it's War Day. And the reason our country has gone into public debt to the degree and extent it has had is not because we're not financing building or infrastructure or health care. It's instead we're financing these massive wars throughout the rest of the world to the benefit of the bankers and to the benefit of the defense contractors. And when you consider thanking a veteran for Memorial Day or for Veterans Day, you know, think of it as Armistice Day. Are you familiar with the term Armistice?
Yes, yeah, I am.
It comes from the end of World War I, I believe.
Yes, that was the end of World War I, and that was the war to end all wars. Remember that?
Yeah.
But
yeah, the last one.
Any Republican that, you know, wants to tell you, and again, those commercials were saying, you know, how much people like Eric Paulson and Jason Lewis fought for pre-existing conditions in healthcare when in fact anybody with even, you know, a nominal intelligence could ascertain that they voted every time they could against such things, and they knew that they were lying. And if they're lying about little things, you know, they're going to be lying about the big things. But, you know, we have to get together and look at the macro issues.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks, Mark. I think we're going to have to let you go.
I'm going to take one of your Indivisible groups one of these days. I want to see what that's all about.
Yeah, come to Indivisible Chaska. We're on the first Monday and third Monday at the Chaska Moravian Church. But thank you for the call, Mark. We got to take a break. We'll be right back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here today. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all-energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
It's just a few weeks before winter officially settles in. Is your home ready for the holidays? Now is the perfect time to get your entire home zero-resified by the cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Get three rooms clean starting at just $149. You can also get $50 off your air duct cleaning when you call 952-0-RES, 952-0-RES, or book online anytime at zeroresmn.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Grips on your ways, front way, back way. You know that I don't play. Street's not safe, but I never
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here for local Minnesota Radio Hour. But Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez needs to wait for her lawmaker's salary to kick in before she can afford a Washington, D.C. apartment.
You know, it's funny. I totally forgot that she was running in this election.
Yeah,
I know that's kind of a forgotten like conclusion that she's going to win.
I understand because all the news was about the primary and how huge that was. But yeah, she still had to be elected.
I think her district was like 80% Democrat, though. So obviously,
yeah, it was pretty safe. But Joe Crowley was on the ballot for the Working Family Party because they nominated him, even though he endorsed Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He was still on the ballot, so there was a
interesting
chance.
You can just add people's names to the ballots who
are
not running.
The Workers' Family Party had ballot access, and they decided to endorse Crowley, probably to get the federal funding. To
Democrats use Oprah.
But so Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez told the New York Times in an interview Thursday that she needed to wait for a congressional salary to kick in before she can rent an apartment in Washington, D.C. She explained that the transition period will be very unusual because I can't really take a salary. I have 3 months without a salary before I'm a member of Congress. So how do I get an apartment? Those little things are very real. Ocasio-Cortez told the Times that she had saved money before leaving her job at a restaurant and planned accordingly with her partner. We're kind of just dealing with the logistics of it day to day, but I've really been just kind of squirreling away and then hoping that gets me to January, she said.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen the rent prices out in D.C.?
Yeah.
They're outrageous. I guess it might be an improvement based on where she's living now in Brooklyn. But
yeah, but she's got to be close to to the Capitol.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, they're going to gouge you there. But she explained on Twitter after the interview that her struggle with housing costs is one of the many little ways in which our electoral system isn't even designed nor prepared for working class people to lead. And I think that's a good point. Interesting little thing, because I do think that she is the perfect example of how representative democracy should work. She's an actual person from that district rather than another rich white guy who none of that district was made up of rich white guys.
Yeah, moved up, set a address in that region and just runs there.
Yeah. Well, with our minute and a half left, the Democrats win another House seat after a Republican claimed premature victory. New Mexico attorney Exito Torres Small defeated her Republican opponent, I can't pronounce who that is, to flip yet another seat in the House for Democrats. Torres Small was declared the winner Wednesday after thousands of absentee ballots were counted in a tight election. But her Republican opponent had already claimed victory Tuesday and had to retract her victory speech with a concedement. So
I'm using that as much as I can.
Yeah, I'm all for it. The seat had been left vacant by GOP Rep. Steve Peirce, who ran for governor. Democrats won control Tuesday night after taking a number of seats from the GOP, but they took another one, and this was a Republican-controlled seat. So they managed to pull off one more upset. Well, thank you for listening to us today. This is Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson signing off for Local Minnesota Radio Hour on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We will see you later.